We're in the middle of a potential Holocaust in some of our communities. Those were the words of California Assemblyman Mike Roos, urging legislators to vote for a bill that would ban the sale and possession of assault weapons in the state. This is the kind of situation that puts the word lover to the test. Etymologically speaking, a Holocaust is a burnt sacrifice. Over the centuries, it's come to mean any large-scale destruction by fire. Then after the Second World War, the word acquired a particular use to refer to the death of 6 million Jews in Hitler's ovens, in which case it's usually spelled with a capital H. It's probably that sense that has led people to use the word to refer to any occasion of widespread death and destruction. Over the past couple of years, I've seen Holocaust applied to the wars and famines in East Africa, the AIDS epidemic, and the massive earthquake in Armenia. Still, a lot of people would prefer to restrict the word to situations where fire plays a role in the destruction. It's okay to talk about a nuclear holocaust, for example, but what's going on in East Africa or East L.A. might be better described as a slaughter, a catastrophe, a massacre, or whatever. The problem is that it seems pedantic to get after somebody for using a word like holocaust in a loose way, particularly when the events themselves are so terrible. How can you cavil about a word when people are dying? The point's been brought home recently in one of the debates that swirled around the Salman Rushdie affair. A couple of weeks ago, both neoconservative writer Norman Podoritz and New York Times columnist A.M. Rosenthal wrote pieces accusing the writer Christopher Hitchens of hypocrisy for supporting Rushdie. They charged that Hitchens himself had written an article 2 years earlier denying the importance or reality of terrorism. But what Hitchens had actually said in the article was only that the word terrorism has become a propaganda cliché, a description that people apply to any political threats or violence that they disapprove of. And he certainly had a point. The word terrorism is used to cover a literal multitude of sins, from airliner bombings and political kidnappings to armed insurrections, state repression of dissidents and subject populations, and most recently, of course, to the Ayatollah's efforts at literary criticism. It's become a kind of incantation that closes off any discussion, not just with the perpetrators, but about them. This isn't to say that Khomeini's pronouncement is either more or less reprehensible than setting off a bomb in front of a crowded cafe. But it's clearly a different kind of act, and a rather unusual one, a religious leader inciting the murder of a particular individual. To lump the two acts together as simple terrorism is to surrender to mental laziness, and worse, to linguistic blackmail. What's most disturbing about Podoritz and Rosenthal's remarks is the implication that if you refuse to describe the Ayatollah's threats as terrorism, you're somehow apologizing for them. What they're saying, in effect, is that if Hitchens had really felt an appropriate sense of outrage over the threats, he wouldn't be quibbling over terms. There's a temptation to resort to this sort of linguistic blackmail with just about every loaded term of political life: terrorism, genocide, communism, racism, colonialism. But as George Orwell warned, the result is a blurring of distinctions that makes rational discourse impossible. There are times when nitpicking is the highest political duty.